So our next speaker is going to tell us about development of iPest iPhone apps and her experiences with this, Rebecca Baldwin.
Hi guys, this is going to be kind of an equal opportunity harassment. So feel free to ask questions and talk to each other. There are a lot of folks out here using technology. Last year at this meeting, unbeknownst to me, someone talked about using technology in extension and flashed a big sign up there showing the iPest app we had just come out with at the University of Florida. And I was inundated by folks asking me questions about it at ESA last year. And I'm really just a novice, and I don't have a whole lot of technical ability. I hire computer programmers to help. But Natalie asked me to come and just share my story. So this is story time, just to kind of tell you what it was like in my experience developing an app. And as extension faculty, the kind of software features that help us in reporting. So this is all story time. So feel free to raise your hand in the middle of the presentation, interrupt, ask questions, make comments. It's perfectly okay. So I wanted to start out, I just received my 10-year pin for being an ESA member. So I thought back to my very first ESA meeting. So do any of you remember being at the 2001 meeting in San Diego? 2001 Entomological Odyssey, yeah? Do you remember? Okay, so my first experience with ESA as a student was showing up to the meeting with a set of 35mm slides. Remember those days? We have come a really long way, guys. ESA is mobile this year. Are any of you using the ESA app, the mobile app? So I think they're going to want some feedback from us because I know you've all experienced some things that don't exactly work right and things you can't find. So make sure to give them some feedback because it's really a nice feature. Now we can just upload our presentations before we ever leave, get on that airplane and not have to go and get reprints when we make mistakes on our slides. So we really have come a long way, and since the theme is about identify, clarify, and speak out this year, if you notice at the on the ESA homepage, you now can stay plugged in a variety of ways. So we have come a long way. So just some background information. One of the questions, I guess within the past year, I've probably been contacted about a dozen times from extension faculty across the United States asking me about app development. Do any of you have things in progress right now, applying for grants, deciding to add multimedia? Yeah, so some of you probably have some of the same questions that other folks had. So I'll try to answer the questions that they had. And one of the first questions is, why iPhone? Why did you choose iPhone? Now everything, you know, you can do, use BlackBerry, Android for the Droid phones, and iPhone. iPhone has a really nice framework behind it and have a nice software developing kit that you can use. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. If you're deciding to get started, in my opinion, iPhone, they don't call it iPhone SDK anymore. It's iOS. So you have to change your terminology as you go. But the iOS is the way to go just because of that framework. So I'll show you some examples of slides and information you can get. So since it was released in 2007, Apple came up with a software developing kit in 2008 and allowed just anyone that wanted to develop apps. So since that really 2008 time frame, there have been over 15 billion apps downloaded. And in fact, I just downloaded the one that you showed us while you were talking. You said, hey, let's look at this invasive species app. That quickly, I was on the Wi-Fi, downloaded an app, it can be used. Of the apps that are out there, about 82% of them are free. So keep this in mind as you're developing your extension programs and you're thinking about developing apps. Do you want it to be a paid app or do you want it to be a free app? And so that's something to consider. The invasive species app is a free app. The ESA app is a free app. A lot of times those are one-time use things, like this meeting. Will you ever use your Ento 21 app again? Probably not, but you'll get one for next year. So those 15 billion apps sometimes are only used a couple of times or for a limited time. 18% of those apps are paid apps. So people are paying money to use that app. And the average fee for an app right now is about $1.44. And that's another acronym they use, ASP. So if you want to Google ASP, the average selling price for apps, $1.44. And it's estimated that this year in 2011 that the average iOS user, so that's anyone with an iPod Touch, an iPad, or an iPhone, any of those devices, they'll download 83 apps, and that's up from the average user downloading only 51 apps a year ago. So we're in that age of technology. Folks are downloading apps all the time. And how many of you teach undergraduates? Most of you? Something new that I've discovered in my classes this year, instead of taking notes, the students just take pictures with their cell phone of the slides. Does that happen to any of you guys? Yeah, something different. All right, so here's my story. I told you this was going to be story time. So in 2009, I invested and purchased an iPhone. I was all excited, so just like many of you that have these smartphone devices, you can't wait to see what's out there, what's available. So I'm an urban entomologist by training, and I started looking, what tools are out there for urban entomology? Well, they had one that was supposed to be a mosquito repellent that emitted a high-pitched noise, and there was one where you could squish a bug, a little game that was out there, but there was really nothing out there for insect identification. So I pitched the idea for an urban pest ID app, something very basic that would help pest control technicians. That part of my extension program is to work with basic pest control technicians. So I started going out when I would do these CEU classes across the state of Florida. So I started asking folks, how many of you have a smartphone? And they raised their hand. And so I started asking, well, you have a smartphone, does your company pay for it or do you pay for it? When you download an app, do you have to pay for it or will your company reimburse you if it's something that you can use for work? So I started polling and finding out that a lot of the young technicians out there did have smartphones and they were paying for them themselves and they were paying for apps, but they paid for them out of their own pocket. They didn't get reimbursed. So that helped me decide whether to make the app free or for a fee. So in 2009-2010, I put forth an extension enhancement proposal from the University of Florida and received $7,900 to start this app development. Basically, I was aiming it at pest control technicians, but realized that lots of folks are interested in urban apps, especially in the southeastern United States. It's just a way of life. I started exploring the programming. I thought, hey, maybe this is something I can do. And, you have all the confidence in the world. You know, it's a challenge. So I started reading blogs and realized that just because you can design a web page and know a little bit about HTML doesn't mean you can design an app. It uses the Objective-C language, so unless you've had some courses in programming, you probably don't want to tackle this yourself. You want to hire a programmer or hire an outside company to help you develop that app. So that's one thing I realized. They said if you can design a web page, if you can program in HTML, it'll take you about 6 months to learn the programming behind an app. And I don't know about you guys, but I know none of you have 6 months to invest in learning programming skills. So the next step was to find a model. You know, you don't want to reinvent the wheel, so I just went and found an app that I liked. And I said, oh, this is one that is for bird identification. It looks really nice and clean. It's very basic. And so I found a model and then storyboarded it. And I said, this is what I want it to look like. I want to have these basic features, and I want to have photographs. And then I hired a programmer to put it all together. So that was kind of the steps. And the photograph you see here, we had a press release at the University of Florida. So they came in, and I got to take my nice, fancy, expensive iPad when it first came out. I got to pre-order one of the first ones, which now is outdated, by the way, and covered it full of Australian cockroaches. And the photographer was really creeped out by that. But we were able to get some press out of the app release. So what you need if you're going to develop an app, and this is based on the iOS app development. First off, you have to download a software development kit, and it costs $99. The software development kit has some features. It's a development license, so I'm going to walk you through some slides that show you what you get for that $99. One of the things you get is a simulator. So when you get ready to test your app to see if it crashes, to see if it'll work, you have a computer-based simulator as part of that $99 you can use. You also need an operating system that'll work on a Mac computer. You can't program iOS on a PC unless you have a program called VMware that will run the Apple operating system. So in my case, I didn't have an Apple computer. I'm a PC person, so I hired a programmer that had access to that. So that's something else to consider. Do you want to have to buy a whole new computer just to have someone program? You have to have the Objective-C programming skills. So you have to hire someone that knows how to program. You can teach yourself, however, and this is something that you can take note of. This is free. We learned earlier today that, you know, educators like things that are free. So Stanford University has posted a whole semester's worth of lectures on iTunes U. So iTunes University, if If you go there and do a search for Stanford University iOS development, their most recent semester was a year ago, fall of 2010. You can program it to podcast. You can download every lecture and kind of teach yourself a little bit about the basics of programming. So Stanford University is developing apps for iOS, free download. You can listen to all of the lectures as if you were a student. And if you happen to be really techno-savvy and want to teach a class about app development, Apple will work with you and send you free hardware for your courses. They, you know, they get 30% profit on every app that's sold, so they want to make more apps. So you can contact them, they'll send you free hardware and information on how you can partner with them for that. The second thing, or I guess the fourth thing you need is hardware to test your app on. So you need to have hardware devices. You need to have an iPhone, you need to have an iPod Touch, you need to have an iPad. These programs will crash, there will be bugs. There's lots of information online on how to fix the bugs. In my case, I wanted bugs in my app, so thank you for laughing at that. But you really have to test it on the hardware. You have the simulator, but you need to be able to test it on the hardware. So that's a little pricey to get that. You also have to set up a provisioning profile that expires every 30 days. And this is a thing that people don't know. Once you develop your app and you're all excited about it and it goes live and you watch the development process, it's just like a traffic signal. You get, you know, red light, then yellow light, then green light. And when it's green, it goes live and you're all excited, you want to have a party. Every year you have to renew that development license or your app goes offline. So it's $99. If it's a paid app, every year you have to renew that $99. So consider that. See if someone at your university already pays this development fee, and you can log in under their username and password, and only one person has to pay that $99 fee. So keep that in mind. Also keep in mind, like I said, my fancy-dancy iPad that was, like, really cool 2 years ago isn't so cool anymore. You know, everybody has cell phone envy and techno envy, so mine doesn't have a camera. People get rid of these. I know I talked to one of the associate deans at our university, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to order a new one. I don't know what I'll do with the old one. Check with folks and see. Our university is talking about making a repository where you can check out old hardware. So if you hire a programmer and don't want to give them your fancy, you know, iPad to work with, you can get an older one that's now outdated that they can work with. The iPod Touch works really well, too. It's not as expensive, and you can let a programmer work with that. All right, since I'm just about out of time, I have a minute left, we're going to do a quick walkthrough. With your $99, you get all kinds of online resources and blogs and tutorials on how to build your app. Like I said, it's $99 a year. With that development, this is great for extension. You get 50 free downloads for every version. So if you have county faculty that you want to offer this to free of charge, all you have to do is request a free download. And they give you a code. It's only good for 4 weeks. They require you to put legalese in the message that you send out to whoever's going to download it. But 50 free downloads for every app version that you develop. So a really nice thing for extension. You also get customer feedback. All of you guys that go to iTunes know that you can read the feedback. And you also get monthly emails from iTunes Connect that tell you all about the financial situation, how, you know, the deposits that are being made. They have lots of legalese. You have to are constantly having to update your license agreement with them, so just know that to expect that. You'll have to sign lots of agreements. On a monthly basis, you get information about your total units that are sold, how many downloads you have, how many dollars you make if it's a paid app in U.S. dollars. You get earnings statements. So this is really nice for doing your end-of-year reporting, how many people have downloaded your apps. So this is kind of a walk through some of the photos of the iPest. I know I'm out of time now. I'm going to get to my conclusion slide. Yeah, you can give yourself links to your other extension programs. And although this is downloadable, you don't have to be online to use it. So pest control guys can be, you know, in an attic or in a basement crawl space and look up pictures of damage to compare to what they're seeing. At least you got the little walkthrough there. So iPest 1 was released in May of 2010 for $1.99. We didn't release iPest 2 and 3, which have other insects, until last October, so just a year ago. So in the last 18 months, we've had 2,800 downloads of those three apps, and we've got our proceeds up to $3,600. Now, we spent about $7,000 on the development of these three apps. So we haven't made our money back yet, but we will one day. They'll be out there. So we have an average of about $203 a month. And how I set this up, this was a common question that the Extension faculty were asking me. What do you do with the royalties? How do you make sure that it comes back to you? And so far, so good. We haven't been taxed on these from the university, but we get 70% of the proceeds. We get about $1.31 for every app that's downloaded, and there are exchange rates and things for international downloads. But I put this note at the bottom of my grant proposal and on my contract with my programmers so that the programmers don't come back and want royalties, that any royalties received will be used to promote and provide extension training and future extension publications by our department at the University of Florida. So the funds actually do come back into an extension fund that I can use to create more apps, hire a programmer, use for advertising if I like. So technology keeps moving. So it's a moving target. So apps are, you know, yesterday's news. That was a year ago we developed that. And so now we're using QR codes. And you saw Bart's presentation earlier. So Dr. Gillette Kaufman, who's here in the audience, has worked with them to put QR codes on some of their advertising. And this is actually her phone. And there's lots of uses for technology. So I just wanted to show you guys some of the new uses. If any of you need to look for stats on mobile phone uses and downloads in your grant proposals, this is a really nice site called mobithinking.com. It gives you the latest stats. They keep updating it. So when you're making your, taking a picture of the slide, I see you out there, just like my student. This is a good website to use when you're writing your grant proposals to show that people really are downloading this and you will reach a wide audience. All right, totally out of time now. So I have my iPad here, and I have posters with QR codes if anyone wants to play. So you're welcome to do that. So thank you, Blake. I appreciate you.